people are really, really skeptical of salesmen now. Like, they can read you really fast. And so if you're getting these modern sales tactics, it's such a big turnoff. I mean, people hate it. So when you actually go in there and provide the value and say, hey, yeah, I want to put my name on this. I want to provide you the best service. If you choose to go with us, awesome. If you don't, cool. You know, whatever we can do to help you.
It really goes back to that caring for others and then following that with your work ethic and integrity.
Yeah.
Results will follow.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Benj and Sailor Show. Yep. Today we have an awesome guest with us, Grant Salinas.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're excited to have him here and talk about his experience in business. So Grant is from, you're from Nampa, Idaho, went to a not necessarily a huge school, right? You guys went to Columbia.
Yep.
And, you know, went there, served a mission, came home, started going to college, graduated from college, went into become a
pilot.
Commercial pilot, right?
Yeah.
And then you just decided it wasn't for you, I would say. And
you decided to be a garbage man.
Yeah. Right? Became an entrepreneur. So that itself is a really interesting story. You know, there's a lot of people out there who want to go to school for the security, whereas you went to school for the security and then was ultimately like, you know what? This isn't the path I want to take. So I kind of want to start from the beginning. You know, what makes you, you, Grant? Like, who are you and why do you get up in the morning? What's your driving force?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, I had an idea of what I wanted to do and thought that's what was going to make me happy every day. And, you know, ultimately give me that financial success, that freedom of, you know, not really having to worry about the day-to-day stresses when it comes to finances. And obviously I'm in a different spot, ended up taking a different route, but something that, you know, I think the biggest drive in my life every single day is just the opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. Whether that be our employees, the clients we work with, our vendors, just I enjoy getting to make a difference for someone else. And in turn, I see how that, you know, plays a huge role in my life and makes me the person that I am, how it affects me and my family, and the person that I want to be. So I just see, yeah, it's just that's my big goal. That's my motivator every day, is just how can I make a difference in someone's life? And in turn, that provides me with so much happiness.
That's awesome. There you go. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think it's a fulfilling to be able to do something like that for the community and for people and for your family.
Yeah, it's almost addicting when you realize how much you can impact someone, mm-hmm. and you can see, you know, how that actually helped them. You like look at it and you're like, how can I do this 10 more times? Like, that was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And that's what, you know, Jesus Christ did. I mean, he impacted other people and he spent his whole life. Is it almost his entire life, right, for us? Let's start at your childhood, Grant. What kind of kid were you like when you were younger?
I wasn't the best.
You're
I was
the best.
Yeah. I my mom says that I was a bear. I was the worst to get up.
Oh.
I was always angry. I was like the worst child. And I hear that now, I'm just like, man, that's not me.
Did you get payback for your kids? Are your kids like that at all?
Oh, my oldest, my little girl, she's 50 or 16 months.
Okay.
And yeah, she's starting to get super emotional. She's all over the place right now. But my wife and I, we actually moved into, when we were in Nampa, after we came back from Rexburg when we were in school, we stayed at my parents' house for longer than I wanted to. We lived with them for about a year. Mm-hmm. And then we found a place, moved into this rental. And it was the same ward that I was in growing up.
Oh, cool.
And I was so scared to go back into this ward because now all these adults, they know who I was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We'd moved out of this ward when I was 11 or 12, mm-hmm. and they knew who I was. That's what they remembered. And now I'm a totally different person.
I
feel like I'm, you know, just the nicest guy, just easygoing. And that's what, you know, I walk in the doors and just,
they're like expecting
really?
You,
you're here?
Like, what's going to happen? Isn't that
so, yeah,
funny how people like I can't remember myself when I was younger, but people know me when I was a kid and I'm like, I don't even know what your perception is of me because you have that perception of me as a kid and or now, like I'm totally, I don't know if I'm the same or different,
but yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, so that was, I feel like it made a 180, hopefully. So getting, you know, seeing, being a kid and growing up in my family, I feel like for the longest time, we're pretty fortunate. Always had roof over our head, always had a new pair of shoes or cleats or something for the sports that we were in. Pretty big family, there's five of us. And my dad had a great job, my mom didn't have to work. And yeah, I mean, we're just average middle-class family.
Yeah.
And you never had to worry about anything. And then when I was 12, during the, or 11 or 12, during the crisis in 2006, 2007, my dad lost his job. Okay. And we had just moved. The market was great, and so they decided we're going to buy a house, and then we'll list our other one so we can get into somewhere. So I have two houses, and the market tanks. Can't sell the first one.
Oh, really?
Loses his job. And now we're going 20 months to sell this house, making two mortgage payments with zero income.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
What was that like?
It was brutal. You know, honestly, things were significantly different. My parents did everything they could to minimize the effect it had on us as kids. My oldest brother was just starting high school, and we're a very sports involved family. Always had, you know, just were able to go to camps and do all the extra things that came along with that. And then, you know, it just kind of went away. And so we wrestled all growing up, and I decided I didn't want to wrestle that year because I knew it cost this much money and it wouldn't be able to get the shoes that I needed. And so I'd said that I didn't want to wrestle because I knew that, you know, just that little bit of money would help, would go a long ways when there's seven mouths to feed.
That's crazy that you actually had that thought. I mean, you were that aware of other people at that age that it was going to help your family to do that. But that's also pretty like traumatizing too, like that you guys had to go through that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's definitely made me the person I am today. So from that point forward, I just decided, you know, I don't want to ever have to worry about this. And I want to do whatever I can to make sure that my family has financial freedom. So that coupled with the amazing work ethic, skills, and values that my parents have instilled upon us, I'd say has definitely got me to where I am today. And that goes such a long ways, especially today. It's so hard to find people that will just work hard. They'll show up. They have integrity. They're going to do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to find that. And you think they're such basic concepts, but I attribute everything to just the way that they raised us. They always taught us to be honest, work hard, and, you know, just look out for others, care about what other people need, and recognize their shortcomings so that we can help them.
Yeah.
And that's definitely got me to where I am today.
Yeah. So, I mean, you kept coming from, you know, you deciding not to wrestle in high school, and then you decided to go to college, right? How did you pay for that money to go to college? What did you do to get there?
Yeah, so everything, I kind of knew, I mean, by this point when I was in college, my dad had a job, and they were doing fine. They're on their feet.
Okay.
However, I mean, he's not making tons of money, and there's still a lot of kids in the family.
Yeah, I mean, five kids, I mean, that's a lot.
And so, I mean, everything was, like, I mean, kind of on us. So at the time I had figured out I wanted to be a doctor. You know, every doctor makes so much money,
yeah.
Which I'm now learning. They don't make as much money as I thought.
Yeah, they don't.
And so I thought that's exactly what I wanted to do. So I'm taking the pre-med route, taking all the fun biology and chemistry classes. And
you're like, this is the best. This
so
the
much
dream.
Fun.
So this is what I want to do.
while I'm taking 18 to 20 credits every semester, definitely didn't want to go into debt doing that. And so I was working as a pipe fitter installing fire sprinklers. And we'd work 30 to 40 hours a week on top of a full load of classes, just so that I wouldn't have to get a student loan for my undergrad. And tell you what, it's not fun. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to I had a goal and I knew I know how to work hard. I knew I could do it. And just setting my priorities on what was most important at the time. And that was getting a degree and not going into debt. And so everything else kind of goes to the wayside. And you just, I'm going to focus on this and make it happen. And you just, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I was just like you. When I got out of high school, I was like, all I want to do is make money. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to do. And I was like, what career makes the most money? A doctor. That's the one. So I was like, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to become a doctor. And then I met like this guy in my life who was actually my boss. And he was like, dude, you don't have to go to college to be successful, like at all. And I was like, you're freaking right. I don't. And I started working the job I had, and I was, you know, making more money than my dad at the time. So it was crazy to experience that. And I'm sure you probably felt the same when you started working here. Yeah. But something kind of skipped over that I want to talk about was you served a mission.
Yeah.
Where did you serve?
So I went to Argentina. I served in the Argentina Rosario mission.
Okay.
From 2015 to 2017. And one of the best experiences of my life. there's beautiful parts of Argentina. There's so many mountains and waterfalls up in the north, and there's tons of mountains and beautiful snow in the south. And I was right in the middle where it's like flat and fields and hot and humid, nothing pretty at all.
Did you get any cold at all?
So actually I'd asked my older brother went to Paraguay, just north of Argentina.
Okay, gotcha.
And I was getting ready to leave. I asked like, what should I take? And because my packing list said to take like a jacket. And he's like, you're never gonna wear that. It's so hot there. I'm like, all right. So I had short sleeve shirts, a couple long sleeve shirts, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then my suit jacket, which we hardly ever use. And my first winter, so my 6 weeks after I get there, winter hits and I'm freezing. It's like, I mean, just above freezing, low 30s. And I was not expecting that. And then humidity, 100% humidity almost.
Yeah, it makes it so much colder.
And oh, it was miserable. So that first winter, I got a sweater at a little yard sale. And then my second winter was even worse. I went and got a jacket. But yeah, if you're going to Argentina, take a jacket.
So. See, I didn't think that it was, I mean.
It is. In the lower parts of South America, it's cold.
See, I've never thought that in my entire life until now. So thank you for.
And I mean, there's southern, you can go as. Argentina goes so far south, it goes almost all the way to Antarctica. I mean, it's way down there.
Yeah, I guess I never connected those two dots. Like, I understand it's so far down there, but now that you say, I'm like, yeah, duh, like it snows there. Duh.
Yeah, there's
like
beautiful snow. There's one day I saw a 4Runner. It was like June or July, and I see a 4Runner on the street, and like that sticks out big time. 4Runner, a Thule roof rack with all these stickers on it. And comes past, it's got Utah license plates on it.
Really?
They went down there to ski because it's summer up here, and so they're skiing down there.
I would not go down there.
That's so crazy. Cool.
I mean, they compare. They say that it's better snow than in Utah. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet Utah makes half their snow sometimes. Wow, that's cool. That's really cool.
So definitely one of the biggest thing I'd say is what people are going to take away is that, you know, I was able to learn Spanish, and that's definitely a huge help in our industry. Don't use it every day. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. And your older brother.
Yep.
You guys all.
And our dad.
Do you guys all speak Spanish to each other?
No, probably not.
Only when we're like talking to each other about someone.
Oh, okay. You're like, mom is such a jerk today. Yeah. What's wrong with her?
When I was on my mission, I never spoke, because I went to the Philippines, I never spoke Tagalog to any white guys. We just never did that. Yeah, if you're walking on the street with your companion, we just spoke English. Like, it was just easier. I don't know
it's
if
definitely
that's how
a lot easier. And then when you start mixing stuff.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
You have like it's like half in Spanish, half in English. You're just going back and forth, like without skipping a beat.
And then you know exactly like English words.
Yep. And you know exactly what they're saying.
Yep. Yeah.
See, I mean, it's definitely nice. It's a nice tool to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't use it every day, but when I do need to use it, it definitely comes in handy. Yeah. So.
I mean, when being on your mission, I know from experience, you are trapped 24 hours with another person, and you right now in Rocky Mountain Services, isn't your role like operations and making basically everyone work together? How well do you feel like that translates to what you're doing now?
So definitely learned on my mission, being with someone 24 hours a day, you learn how to read people, and you kind of learn nonverbal communication, How are their actions? What's their mood? What's their personality? How are they right now based on how they're acting? Not necessarily what they're saying, but how they're carrying themselves, their mannerisms. And that's definitely a huge skill when you're managing people, especially when you're the manager or the owner. No one ever wants to come and talk to you about problems that are going on, or if they disagree with you, they don't necessarily want to come and tell you. They might be afraid that you're going to fire them.
Yeah.
Or just something's going on, and so no one wants to tell the boss. But it's definitely nice to be able to kind of read the room and see what are some challenges that are going on. Are there issues that are happening that we don't necessarily know about, but you can see some contention. And it helps being able to learn how to communicate with them, see what's going on, see how you can help them out, what they need, what they're interested in, what they're struggling with, all from just observing and taking a step back and trying to help this person, not because you want to get the job done better or because it's costing too much money if they're not doing it right, but because you genuinely want to help them. At the end of the day, they're also going to recognize that genuine care. And I feel like that goes so far. And when it comes to employee turnover or efficiency, that goes so much farther rather than kind of dangling a carrot above their head with bonuses or pay raise, just a genuine care. And I feel like that's something I learned from my mission is I'm stuck with this person no matter what. There's not another option. I have to figure out if there's a problem, I have to figure it out.
Yeah.
We have to resolve the conflict. And I feel like that translates so well over to the business. Just working with people, working with our clients, trying to help our employees learn how to better communicate with the clients when they're on site. So
yeah,
definitely. There's so many good things that come from serving a mission.
Oh, I know. There's like, I mean, if you talk to anyone, there's not one person that didn't learn something from their mission. There are so many little things. And kind of going back to what you said, like, one thing that I learned when I was, you know, when I had a companion is I was with this companion that was maybe known as a troublemaker or someone that was a little bit harder to get along with. And I learned the value of your words to other people. You know, she was being told that she was a bad missionary. She was being told that basically she didn't know what she was doing. And so that's because she believed that, that's how she acted. And all she needed was someone to believe in her and someone to tell her that, hey, you are a great missionary. You're sharing, you know, God's word. You are doing everything okay. And once that switch happened, like, I saw a complete change in how she perceived herself and how hard she worked and her output, just based on, you know, you believing in someone and you treating someone, genuinely caring about them, not because you want them to work harder, but because you, like what you said, you want them to feel good about what they're doing in themselves.
Yeah, it's so empowering. You know, when someone trusts you and they believe in, like you said, they believe in you, it goes so far. And we had one of our managers, I had given him some assignments and I totally trusted him that he could do it. And he didn't necessarily feel that. He felt like I was still, either trying to micromanage or want to keep my hand in.
Cookie jar.
Yeah. And just felt like I didn't quite trust him all the way to take care of that stuff. And when I found out about that, we were able to have a conversation and just reassure him, hey, I 100% trust you. Like, I wouldn't put you in a position if I didn't believe that you could handle the responsibilities that come with it. And so once we were able to get past that hurdle, I was able to see him just excel so far in that responsibility and just really take that upon himself, to perform better, be totally independent of, you know, I don't need to check with the boss to do something.
Yeah.
He trusts me. He knows that I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make the best decision. If I make a mistake, I make a mistake. You know, as long as it's good intentioned, then there's always a way to fix something or find a solution. But to see him be able to just advance so far with that was awesome. And it made me, it reminded me, I need to make sure that everyone feels that trust and that confidence that I have in them. Instead of just telling them, I need to make sure that they totally understand it and that they embody it. Otherwise, they'll always have that feeling of, you know, oh, I don't know if I'm doing it right, or the boss can be mad.
Yeah.
So
that's how I feel with sometimes with Ben. Like, we get in these fights where I'm like, where I just tell him something like, hey, go get this. And he's like, that was kind of rude. I'm like, but you know, I'm your wife. So like, nothing, I'm not trying to say it rude. I'm just trying to say it as quick as possible.
Yep.
And I already thought that you knew that I'm not going to like try to be mean to you or something. So I can totally see that in my life. Like I definitely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Communication's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Communication is huge. Yeah. Yeah. I used to be in high ticket sales, you know, I was selling high ticket items. And one thing I learned, like you're talking about, is gaining people's trust.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that people would buy from me, and I'm sure you guys find the same thing in your business when selling, is when you take the time to actually gain a personal relationship with someone to the point where once they're done with their services, they'll call you and tell them that they want to take you out to lunch, or they have a gift basket for you. I had a client call me the other day, and I don't do that anymore. And he was like, "Hey man, I have a gift for you." That guy spent like almost $40,000 with me, and he has a gift basket for me.
Yeah, he's spending more money for
you. He's spending more money on me. Yeah. And that was because I took the time to build a relationship. He invited me to go play tennis with him. You know, like it's, when it comes to customer service, which is the business you're in, and talking about being a good companion and leading your guys, if they can feel the trust, and if they know that when they're talking to you and you're listening, the respect goes like that. And then they're instantly on your side of wanting to get things done. You give them an assignment, like, "Oh, Grant's my guy. I'm gonna get this done as fast as I can." So I really like you touched on that, because that's huge. It's really big in any business in the world, building relationships.
I feel like we have to be hyper aware of it in our industry, and in the asphalt industry, there's so many companies that they're just in it to make a quick buck. I mean, they're gonna, you know, in the maintenance side of things, seal coating specifically, you can get started with, I mean, hardly any equipment, a broom and a bucket of sealer. And there's so many people that just, they're the weekend warriors. They're going to come out on Saturday and Sunday and throw some watered down stuff, collect the check, and they're out of town. They change their number. You can't ever get a hold of them again. And so they kind of give our industry a bad rap.
You see that a lot.
We definitely see that. Yeah.
Really?
More so on the residential side when people are getting their driveway redone or something. But even lately we've been seeing it more and more on the commercial side of things, where someone just got their parking lot refinished a year ago and it already is all flaking up and wearing super fast, and they can't get a hold of the company, or just super hard to get a hold of them. And they just, there's a trend, you know, you see all these different properties and you talk to these different property owners about the problems. There's always a common denominator. It's these select companies that are, you know, bouncing around, and then they're out of town, or they
don't want to guarantee the warranty.
Yeah,
so they leave.
Absolutely. And so something that we're hyper aware of, we really try to focus on, is that trust. We're building out a big assessment, a long-term plan for them, for their parking lot. We're seeing what their needs are. What's your budget? What can we do to help you maximize your stuff to make your property look better and be protected? And, you know, if we can make money, great. But our goal is to help you. I mean, truly, it really goes back to that caring for others, and then following that with your work ethic and integrity.
Yeah.
Results will follow.
Well, that's something you learn from your parents, right? Like, that's something definitely that I felt between talking to you and also talking to McKay, is you guys want to genuinely help people, right? Like, you're not in it to just make quick buck, like you said. You want people's lives to be improved because you're willing to perform the service at a very high quality.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it definitely costs and Steel Coat specifically, we're putting extra additives in to make it last longer. We're doing as little water as we can to mix in and dilute the ratio so that we can have a high quality product, because we know that we're going to get repeat business. I want to put my name on this. I don't want to put my name on something that's going to, you know, look like trash in a couple months.
Yeah, I know. I like that. You know, putting your name on things, and people are going to refer you.
Yeah.
People want to buy from people. And nowadays, I think with like the typical door knocker and salesman, like pest control, solar, people are really, really skeptical of salesmen now. Like, they can read you really fast. And so if you're getting these modern sales tactics, it's such a big turnoff. I mean, people hate it. So when you actually go in there and provide the value and say, "Hey, yeah, I want to put my name on this. I want to provide you the best service. If you choose to go with us, awesome. If you don't, cool. You know, whatever you want, whatever we can do to help you is how we win, and that's how you win."
Yeah.
And it's hard to have a mindset to do business like that nowadays, because it will cost you sales sometimes. It does, and it sucks. But at the end of the day, you know, a year down the road, everyone won from that. You know, they ended up using someone else who actually did a crappy job, and then you get the job later, you know what I'm saying? Or they did use you and then you did a great job and they use you again in 5 years. You know, you have a solid customer.
Yeah.
So now I really like, and like Sailor is saying, I feel that from you guys too. And that's what makes a successful entrepreneur, coming from the heart of service is what it is.
Yeah, that's why there's something that has made me more and more risk tolerant is being partners with McKay. He's bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like, ready to go, ready to jump to the next thing, you know, just never worried about whatever. Let's do this. Let's try this. And I'm here sitting, you know, but look at the risks involved with this. We could lose this much money doing that. We could fail doing this. And he's like, let's just do it. You know, we're young. We have all the time in the world. Why not? And I feel like something that definitely sets us apart is to help us be more successful is, we're going to work hard. We're going to put our name on it. We're going to do a good job. If we don't, we're going to find a way to fix it.
And that's kind of like how we are. Like, Ben's just like, let's go, like, bring our bank account to zero. And I'm like, no, let's have a savings account. Let's have a 6 month plan. And you're totally the opposite. So it works well because he pushes me out of my comfort zone, but then I pull him a little bit back in.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like him a little more safe.
The guy that McKay was talking about, he bought that program from, I'd buy that right now. But like, let's do it. I'm already sold. And so when we get home tonight, Sailor's going to be like, you know, I don't know. We should probably think about this a little more. Like, I know that's what she was thinking when I was talking about it too, because that's who she is. It's the same thing. And that's, I believe that's like a great partnership. You keep each other intact and keep each other safe, because if you have two risk guys, they'll just jump all in, both of them, you know, no one's calculating the risk. Whereas if you have two held back people, it's the same. You're not going to take the big risks. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make the big changes. So that's cool. You guys can work together that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have two heads on a body, I mean, you're going to go different ways. You're going to butt heads. You're going to do so many different things that it's going to fail. Mm-hmm. But where we have such different skill sets, I can totally own what I do and he can own what he does. And we're able to work together and move forward because we're not stepping on each other's toes. Mm-hmm. I do this and he doesn't, and he does this and I don't touch it, because he's really good at this and I'm really good at that. And once you try to mingle that stuff and get into each other's business, that's when you either butt heads or you can't provide a good product. Mm-hmm. And because you're doing a little bit and a little bit versus 100% on either side. Mm-hmm. That's definitely been a huge blessing to us, especially to be able to work together as family, because that adds a whole nother complexity to things.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so being able to have different skill sets in different departments and then 100% trust for one another and have the same vision going forward, I mean, those are the keys to success right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I want to dive on in a little bit to how did you get into working with McKay?
Yeah.
How did you get into Rocky Mountain? You're in college.
Yeah.
And what like was the deciding factor?
Yeah. So when I was in school, like I said, I was going pre-med, wanted to be a doctor. And the year before I was going to take the MCAT, I was just thinking about it, like, is this really what I want to do? Do I really want to be? I'd done some job shadowing, went and was able to be in some ORs, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. Not queasy, nothing. I absolutely love it. But I just wasn't sure, do I really want to be inside all day long? I've always done something outside. I've always done landscaping or worked on my grandpa's farm. I've always done something manual labor and outside and where you can truly see instant gratification, like the result, you know, the work you're doing. And I just said, you know, I don't think I can be a doctor. I don't really want to do it.
What'd your wife think when you
said that? she's 100% supportive, whatever I want to do.
She wasn't like, you promised me you'd be a doctor.
Yep. And I kind of felt bad because, we met and I was like, I'm going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And then right after we got married, I said, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. I think I want to be a pilot because I love equipment. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, you're outside as a pilot. You're outside all the time. You're flying. You're in the sky. Absolutely loved it. And so she's like, do it. whatever
like, wow,
you want to do.
Wow, you really do love me.
And she's sitting
That's
there.
A test. That's
she's
a
sitting
test.
There. Free flights to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Benefits
yeah.
for
oh,
this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we will be able to travel everywhere. That. Like, oh, that's what I would be thinking.
With that, I changed my degree to something I could just do online. I changed it to business management, thinking I'm never going to use this. I just need a four-year degree.
Yeah.
This would be the easiest thing to do. Little did I know, I'd actually be managing a business.
Yeah.
A couple years later.
Yeah, amazing how that works out, right?
So
You're
with
supposed
that,
to do that for a reason, right?
Yep.
Get transferred over really easily.
Yeah. So with that, we moved back to Nampa right as COVID started. Figured there's no sense in staying in Rexburg.
Yeah.
Let's move back to Nampa, and I was just working an odd job, going to flight school, finishing up my degree. And one of the requirements was an internship that I had to do. And I really didn't want to go find an internship somewhere for 6 weeks just to meet the requirements of this course.
Yeah.
So it was right when McKay was getting into the thick of things with Christmas lights and Rocky Mountain. And so I just said, hey, can I just do my internship with you? I'll help you out in the office, you know, be customer facing for the company. And you just send the email saying that I fulfilled the requirements for the internship.
Yeah.
And
cool brother stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you. You have a legit email address. It's not at Gmail.
Yeah.
They'll accept it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And so I was able to do that and started on the operation or the admin side of things of the business, and was able to see kind of the back end. And then he was at the point where he needed more help. He's like, I need you out here actually installing Christmas lights.
Okay.
So I went from doing the calls, doing bids, to doing the calls, doing the bids, doing installs. And was it fun? Absolutely not. I mean, we were working from 5 a.m. until 2 a.m., sleep for a couple hours, get back up and do it again.
And
it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
We're sick. And I don't know what I was going or what was going through my head, but I thought, man, this could be fun.
Okay.
I see opportunity here. And so come January of 2021, we decided that, you know, we work really well together. We have different skill sets that complement each other, you know, tremendously, and really think that we could take this thing to the next level. And so we partnered in January of 2021, and we're able to grow significantly. I think we did a 300% increase that second year, we more than doubled the following year after that as well. And so it was just awesome to have now two heads that are in different, you know, on different sides of the business that are moving towards the same goal. Mm-hmm. You can grow so much faster when you're able to start delegating out responsibilities and then just get so much more work done.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what our audience would be most interested in hearing about your story is, you know, how did you make that decision that, hey, instead of me starting something by myself, I'm going to go partner with someone? Because that's not an easy decision, because you know you're giving up 50% of the profit at the same time, but you're also getting other things on the back end. So how did you make that decision, and why did you make that decision?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know that at the time, I don't know that I had it in me to, you know, go out and be 100% start my own business. Like I said, I was very risk aware, was, you know, didn't want to take risks. That wasn't me. I was always here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to do. And it's going to work out because I'm going to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And McKay helped me realize that we can take risks because look how young we are. We have so many skills that just from working so many different things in our lives and being involved in activities and clubs and speaking and just so many different skills that if we had to go and get a job because we lost everything and didn't work out, we could find something pretty easily. So why not take the risk?
Yeah.
Why not bet on ourselves and try to do it? And so sitting there thinking, man, a pilot makes this much money. There's a huge shortage, guaranteed work.
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to own a business? And you know, everything that I make is because of something I do. I have to sell jobs. I have to get out of my comfort zone and sell. I hated selling.
I did summer sales. Okay.
I went out to Texas with my two older brothers the year before my mission and sold alarms. worst experience of my life.
Really? Oh, I've never horrible. Heard, I mean, most people that I talk to are like, that's where they like got into entrepreneurship is through the sales, but you're
Oh yeah, opposite. I was like, I don't want to knock a door again in my life. Luckily on my mission, we had to clap instead of knocking.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, this works perfect. But yeah, that was always one of my biggest fears was, how do I sell something? I didn't mind talking to people. I go and speak in front of thousands of people and be just fine. Mm-hmm. But if I had to try and sell something to someone at their door, oh, horrible.
No.
I think part of it is because I didn't really believe in what we were selling. I didn't see any, especially growing up in Idaho, grew up in a bubble. I mean, we left our door unlocked, left the keys in the truck. Yeah. I mean, I didn't see
a
need for
fine.
It.
Yeah,
I didn't see a need for it. And so I just didn't really believe in it. It's so much easier to sell something when you truly believe in your product or in your service. It's so much easier because then you can truly see the value that it'll bring to the person, to the client. And it's such an easier sale when you help them understand how it's going to truly benefit them in the end.
Yeah, you're more genuine.
Absolutely. And so that was definitely a huge factor in helping me get over the hump of, you know, do I want to do it? Because I really believed in the service we were offering. Do you need Christmas lights on your house? No, but I see the benefit that it brings someone.
Yeah.
It brings them joy. It brings them cheer during the holidays when things could be tough. They could be going through a tough time in their life, or just the quality of service, selling more of the service side of things, because I truly believe in what we're doing and helping someone and, you know, being a benefit towards them. I believe in that 100%. If you're able to do it, awesome. Here's why you should pick us instead of someone else, because of X, Y, and Z, our integrity, our loyalty, our communication with you, just all the things. I truly believe in that and how it'll benefit someone. And so it's so much easier to get the sale.
Yeah.
And so with that, I think that helped a lot. McKay helped me a lot in taking a leap of faith. My wife was huge, just being a supporter. And she's like, I support you 100%, whatever you want to do. And to this day, McKay and I, our minds are going like crazy. We'll text each other at least 3 or 4 times a week. Hey, what if we do this? This would be a good idea for a new business. Mm-hmm. And I tell my wife, and she just kind of rolls her eyes and laughs, but she's like, you know, if that's what you guys want to do, then
go for it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It.
And I feel like you really do. I mean, I feel like it makes a huge difference having someone that's supporting you and telling you that you can do this, right? Believing in you and trusting that, you know what, if something goes wrong, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have all these skills you just learned, everything will be okay.
Yeah, and it's hard. I couldn't imagine being in her shoes. I mean, 2 kids at home, and we have a mortgage that we got to pay for, and we got this, and we got insurance, and it's just, go do it. I trust that, you know, you're going to, whatever you guys do, it's going to be in the benefit of the family, and it's going to, you know, I trust you're not going to make a dumb decision that hurts us in the end. So it's definitely easier to do when we started, because it was just my wife and I didn't have kids to worry about. I didn't have a house payment.
We're like, well, we have nothing to worry about. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, the first 18 months, we didn't make any money. We didn't take home a paycheck at all, just because we were just putting everything back in the business. We wanted to get bigger and better equipment so we could take on bigger jobs or do things more efficiently. And then we were told, hey, our accountant said, you guys have to take a paycheck, for just because of the way your business is set up. Like, they're going to require you to take home something. Mm-hmm. So we took home, I think it was $1,000 a month or $1,200 a month. And
we're like, nice, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first paycheck from
that's crazy.
All these months and months.
That's
honestly
kind
work.
Of scary too. Like, as you're coming from someone who I rely on Bench to provide for our family, that's like not easy to just be like, okay, I trust you. Like, and you just trust and trust, and it's still nothing, I guess, comes out right away. It's kind of scary.
Yeah,
that's cool you guys did that, though. That's a cool story. You paid yourself, what, $12,000 a year to try to build your business, putting everything back into it. Mm-hmm. Those are the really cool stories of what growth comes. And we were talking to McKay about the topic of consistency and how, you know, for the last 2 to 3 years, I'm sure you guys probably try to pay yourself more than $12,000 a year now, but up until now, it's you've been in the struggle. You've been in the trenches. You know, you probably haven't been eating out at the nicest places. And how to get to that point is to stay consistent, to keep showing up to work, to keep pushing, to keep gaining new skills. And it's really freaking hard to do it. And for people like you, where you have a bigger vision of, you know, I actually want to help people, it makes it a little bit easier. And when you actually know business, you don't look at it as like a kindergarten term. It's like, I understand that this makes sense. And so it's easy to see it, but there's a lot of people in the world that it is the hardest thing for them to show up every day. You know, the work's okay. They don't mind doing the work, but just getting up and going and doing it, you know, like running the same business for 20 years straight can get really freaking tiring, you know? And even you guys have been in this, what, yeah. 3 to 4 years? Yeah. So coming up on 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, if you can just stay consistent with it, the growth is just unlimited. It's there. And when you have the skills of being able to scale and grow and take risks and make sure you stay down on your debt, it'll increase really fast.
Yeah. So, and the consistency, the growth that is provided, it makes it so that we're not just doing the same tasks every single day. If you look at where we were in our business 2 years ago compared to where we are now, the types of jobs we were doing, if I was still doing that stuff, if we're still at that same size and just moving forward, oh, that'd be so boring.
Yeah, if you're still waking up at 5 and putting up Christmas lights all night, or are you still doing
that? We're still extremely involved.
Day,
we're still extremely,
done.
Extremely involved in the day-to-day.
How many employees do you guys have?
So during the winter, mainly during like January, February, we don't have a ton of stuff that we're doing. So mm-hmm. we cut down, we have anywhere between 5 and 10 employees. And then during the summer, when things pick up, we'll bring on another 4 to 5 full-time people.
Is it hard to find those transition people, like the 4 extra 5 people that you need? Or do you guys feel like you find them pretty easily?
I feel like we find them pretty easily. The tough thing is finding the ones that you want to keep around. Okay. And so we'll have pretty good turnover throughout the summer. It's hard work. There's no skipping around that. Mm-hmm. And finding people that want to work hard, that's tough. Like you were saying, Ben, just finding people that just show up on time when they're supposed to. You think it's so easy, but yeah, that's the biggest hurdle we have. Is getting people that just consistently show up to work. But it's so nice to see, just we have all summer to work with our employees and see who could be a manager. I'm not looking at who's gonna show up on time every day and are they gonna keep doing their job. I'm looking for people that are showing up early and looking for more things to do to help grow the business. I'm looking for people that are bought in. And those are the people that are going to grow with us in the company. We're going to keep them on during the winter. If we don't have work for them, I'm going to find something because I know I can't afford to lose that person.
Yeah.
And so.
So what are some things that you do to not lose them? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that really struggle with that.
I mean, it definitely comes out of, at the end of the day, it just comes out of our bottom line. We look for projects around the shop, look for odd jobs that are going to keep them busy or give them things to do. Or we just task them with, hey, we want to roll out this new safety program. Can you take charge of that? Can you take this next 4 weeks and develop this program or a new SOP or way of doing things for one of our services? Can you own that during this next 4 weeks of downtime? And so they're not generating any revenue. They're costing a lot of money, but I know that we need that person on our team this year. And so I'm going to find ways to keep them busy, to keep them here, keep them engaged. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to go and find another temp job somewhere else and then end up liking it and leave.
Yeah.
It's making an investment in the company at the end of the day. That's all it really is making an investment because I know that they're going to benefit us tremendously in the future.
So what is your favorite part of working here and working with Rocky Mountain Services?
I'd say it's probably getting to meet some of the clients we have. Just with our services being pretty broad, mm-hmm. we were able to see and work with a lot of different people, whether they be homeowners, business owners, property managers, construction companies. It's really cool getting to work with kind of all different walks of life in the Valley. And out of the Valley, we get have some projects that are farther away we have to travel to. It's just cool to see and meet these people, make the connections, because you see the opportunity that you can have in the future for other types of work, whether it be here or whether it's a new venture. It's just always great to make those connections. It truly is who you know, not yeah. what you know,
yeah.
To grow a business. And it all comes back down to, how do I communicate with this person? Can they understand that I truly care for them? Do they recognize our hard work, integrity, mm-hmm. or just our values? Because that's going to motivate them to want to continue to work with us or to build a friendship with us, a relationship outside of work. Mm-hmm. I just had a meeting with one of our clients the other day. They're a six-figure client of ours, and I was getting ready to leave the meeting. He's like, hey, do you have my personal number? Let me give you my personal number so that I want to share something with you, outside of work, something about my family and that my house. And mm-hmm. And so he texts me on his personal number. He's like, just wants to truly have a relationship with me outside of work. And like you were saying, Benj, he realizes that I truly listen to him. Because I sent him an email out of the blue the other day, said, hey, I know you're getting ready to close on your house that you're building. How's that coming along? How's your baby doing? I truly cared.
Yeah.
You know, we already have a contract figured out for this year. We have services that are already set up and ready to go. It's on autopilot, but I truly cared about him. I reached out and wanted to know how things were going. And yeah, there was definitely a benefit of it because later in the day he asked me, hey, can you get me we want to open up your scope. Can you give me some bids on X, Y, and Z? Was that my intention? No, but I mean, benefits come all day long because you care, because you listen, because you want to be friends with someone. Mm-hmm. It truly does benefit you in the end so much more than you think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing all your story with us about it. I really liked it how you just talked a lot about, customer service. I think there's a lot of people out there who need to hear about the proper way to have customer service. Like you talked about, there's a lot of companies who just come, do the job, and leave, right? Well, what happened to them in their childhood?
You're going to go back to trauma psychology 101?
I mean, hey, it's crazy to think about, And but yeah, it's really cool.
So, what is your goal in your life, excluding like Rocky Mountain Services and everything else that you've done, college? What goals do you have that you want to achieve?
My biggest goal is what can I do every day to be the best husband and the best father possible? Money will come and go, but my family is the most important thing to me. And with my job right now, it's extremely taxing sometimes. During a snowstorm this year, I didn't see my daughter for 4 days because I get home after she went to sleep and I leave before she's awake. I didn't see my kids for it. And we had a 2-week-old baby as well at the time.
Oh my gosh,
I didn't see him for almost a week because I was home, I was here, but I wasn't at home with him.
Yeah.
And I see how stressful that is on my wife, and so grateful for all of her support and everything she does for our family and what she does for the business. And same goes for McKay's wife. She's so supportive of him and in turn of Rocky Mountain that we couldn't be where we are, do anything we do without them. And so my biggest goal is just being able to raise a family where we're able to have conversations at the dinner table. We're excited to get together for a reunion and just hang out because we love our family. We love our siblings. We love being together. You see families that they talk about how horrible Thanksgiving is because everyone's in town.
The bad aunt or that one uncle that they don't want to see.
I mean, my family growing up, I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
And my cousins are great. Obviously there's, you know, we're not best friends.
Yeah, you're not we have you're living the same life.
Yeah, we have our differences, yeah. But I truly love all my cousins. I love my siblings. Absolutely love them. And we're friends. And that's what I want to be able to do with my family is raise my kids so they're best friends with each other and make sure they know how much I love my wife and make sure they know how much I love them. They can come and talk to me. I can be their friend. I'm their parent, but I can be their friend as well. They can talk to me about the struggles that they have going on in their life. Mm-hmm. That's something that I was always afraid of my parents because, I mean, they had such high expectations for us. I was always afraid of disappointing them. Yeah. That was my biggest fear, was to disappoint my parents. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that, yes, my kids, I have an extremely high expectation for my kids, but I want to make sure that they totally understand that love and concern and care for them I have. Kind of like I was talking about the situation with one of my managers, mm-hmm. and him, you know, making sure that he really knows that I trust him.
Yeah.
I want my kids to know that they can come and talk to me, that I love them, that when they hurt, I hurt. And when they're struggling with something, I hurt for them. Because it's just, and you understand as a parent, just the love that you have for your kids.
Yeah, it's like you honestly don't know until you become a parent, like how you truly feel, a parent truly feels about their kid, because yeah. It's just, it's indescribable. You would do anything for that kid, no matter what.
Yep. So that's my goal in life, yeah. Is be the best dad, be the best husband I can be.
And Rocky Mountain Services helps you to be able to provide and
absolutely
and become better and growing. I think one of the main things that Benj and I have really talked about and just kind of put into our minds is we want whatever we do, whatever we decide to put our time into, to help us both to grow. We know that we'll live a fulfilling life and we'll love each other and love our life if we're both growing and we're both doing something that's constantly pushing us and constantly helping us. I think a lot of problems that arise, a lot of like mental struggles that people have are because they're not meeting their potential or their expectations and they're not growing. And yeah. Maybe they feel like they're stuck, and we don't ever want to feel like that. And I think it's amazing when you can find, when you discover how much entrepreneurship can really help you and your family and help everyone you know around you, like what you guys have talked about.
Yeah. You don't want to get stagnant.
Yeah.
If it's boring at work, and then it's going to be boring at home.
Yeah.
If you can find ways to progress and move forward and you're always motivated mm-hmm. at work, then that's going to carry over into your
personal life. Yeah, you're going to want to make your relationship better with your absolutely. Husband, with your kids, absolutely. With your wife. So.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about the word retirement. You know, like, what does that word even mean? To me, it's like, if you find something you love.
That's what I hope it means. You can talk about
it. If you find something you love and you want to do it, why would you not make that your life? And scale it and raise it up and bring your kids in it and let them see the growth and raise them while you're doing it. You know, like eventually your son is going to be up there with you putting on Christmas lights. I mean, you'll probably be in the office. He'll be putting it up there, right? Yeah. Got to put in the time. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he'll see you be doing operations. He'll want to become that person. And not because that's what you expect of him, but because he'll come to see that that is life. The journey is the destination. It's right now is literally where we want to be, in the grind, working hard. I mean, 20 years from now, you look back on these things, you'd be like, dude, I'd pay anything to be on that friggin' house right now, hanging up Christmas lights with my brother. You know, that was so fun. Yeah. And the time, it sucks.
Yeah.
But you look back and you're like, that was living. And that's one thing I love about it. And just like you were saying, Sailor, entrepreneurship opens up the opportunity to be able to do that. Whereas a typical 9-to-5, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a statistic that majority of people who work 9-to-5 don't like their job. They don't like it. And there's a lot of things. It's not necessarily the work, but it's going to be where you're working, how it makes you feel. You're not making very much money, and you don't have control over your own life. Someone else controls you. That's the hardest part for me. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, I quit my job, because I was like, I need to be doing this for me and my family. You know, I need to work for 100% of my time. And I'm sure you've probably felt the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're, like you said, you have all the opportunity in the world when you're your own boss. And whatever you want, you have the chance to go get it. It's going to suck. when you're in the grind.
It's gonna be
when you, if you don't get it, it's going to suck, but hey.
Those long days when it's 105 degrees out and you're 15 hours on the blacktop, it sucks. There's nothing fun about that.
Yeah.
But the joy that it brings me to be able to own my own business, have all the opportunity in the world, and employ other people, that's setting me up for success. That's setting my family up for success. And I wouldn't wish for anything else. I'll work as hard as I have to if I know that, you know, I'm going to be able to spend as much time as I want with them in retirement. It's never going to come.
Yeah.
There's always something. If you're not moving forward, then you're moving backwards.
Yeah.
That just doesn't sound fun. So
yeah, I'm with you there. I agree.
Well, Grant, I think it's been a really great time just sitting here and talking with you. I think you have a lot of really valuable insights to how to operate a business. And specifically, we touched on, I think, a lot of customer service and how to treat your employees and how to create a really good culture within your own company. And we'll just have to come meet again and talk about everything else that, you know, I feel like we've just like scraped the surface. And we'll just have to have another one and figure out more about who you are and what you can offer to our audience and what advice you have to give us. So
yeah,
we'll be reaching out when our business gets big. We'll be like, okay, Grant, what do we do here?
So. Yeah, we're excited to see you guys grow. I'm excited. I've seen it. I was there from seeing McKay's first posts, and you guys have gotten big. It's awesome. So cool to see.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming. Thanks for having me here on the show. It's been great. It's allowed me to reflect as well on things that I'm doing in the business, things that are going well, things that I need to improve on. That's a big thing. Just think about it every single day. Just what can I do better tomorrow to benefit my employees, the business, and most importantly, my family.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, then it doesn't matter what you do, you'll be successful.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be happy.
I agree. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Grant. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
And stay tuned for another episode.